Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Good to see you all. Reverend David here. Welcome. Good to be gathering together in the praise and worship of God today. Also want to welcome those who will be listening to the service via the recording at a later time. And we're really thrilled that we're able to share together that way, both for those of us who are here and those who will listen at another time. Thanks, Rose and Jenny, for leading us.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be here today, and we're going to begin with singing 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light, Jesus.
Jesus.
Let us pray. Eternal God, from whom we come and to whom we go, we worship you, we praise you and adore you. We ask that what we do, how we live, and the way we love may increasingly become a worthy response to you. Accept our offering of praise and thanksgiving, which we bring in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be blessing, glory, and honour and might forever and ever. Amen. We share together Psalm 146, and we'll do this responsively. And as you can see on the screen, there's some words that I'll say and then invite you to share in this refrain, which will follow what I read, and that refrain will be on the screen, and it's also in your service bulletins. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. He upholds the cause of the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free, gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise as I live. Amen. And we continue in prayer. Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are a great and a mighty God. You alone are worthy of all praise and worship. You give life to all. You help those who come to you. You give hope to those who call to you. Set our hearts and minds at peace that we may bring our prayers to you in confidence. We come to you, merciful God, confessing who we are before you, that we are not the people that you have called us to be. We confess that we have sinned against you and those around us, that we have walked in darkness rather than in light. We have named the name of Christ, but have not left aside our sin, our selfishness. Have mercy on us, we pray, and forgive us. Cleanse us by your Holy Spirit. Quicken our consciences and enable us to forgive one another, that from this moment we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your holy name. We ask this in and through Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Hear the word of grace. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We can trust God to have mercy upon us. And so the good news is that in Christ our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. In Jesus Christ we know God's forgiveness and God's peace. And so let us share that peace with one another and some welcome. The peace of Christ be with you. Take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. Good morning, gentlemen. Peace be with you. Rosemary, good morning. Peace be with you. Lauren, good morning. Good to see you. Peace be with you. Catherine de Morne, good to see you. Rob. Thanks, Rosemary. We're going to hear some news of our life together.
Good morning, everybody. Nice to see everyone on this another hot day. special welcome back to Coral Lee. Great to see you here, even though you've got the arm. And Kathy, nice to see Kathy brought you. And welcome everyone else. On Thursday the 21st, it's Music Lovers, the last one for the year, and it's Chant Afrique, the French choir, the choir who sings French songs, 10 a.m. and $10, so that should be a really good morning. So please come along to that. In 2 weeks' time, on the 24th of November, it's the congregational meeting after church. It'll be very quick because that's also the day of the congregational lunch. It's just to bring you up to date with the annual reports for 2024, the latest financial situation and the proposed budget for next year, the financial year. It won't be a long meeting. You have time to go home and get ready for lunch. But if anyone hasn't yet sent their reports, if they're an activity leader, please make sure you have those into the office to Courtney by the 12th of November. That's get going on Wednesday morning when she comes in. Don't forget the women's refuge hampers. We're still collecting those. It's ongoing at the back there of non-perishable food and holiday rosters. If you're going to be away and you're rostered on, please let Courtney know. And if you can do extra shifts too, that would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Tomorrow is Remembrance Day. And so this morning I want to acknowledge that by sharing a prayer for Remembrance Day, and then following this we'll sing our next hymn. Mighty God and Heavenly Father, whose kingdom rules over all,
and in whom there is perfect freedom, as we draw near to Remembrance Day, we give you thanks for all who have served in the defence of this country. As we remember those men and women who served in the ranks of our Navy, Army, Air Force, Merchant Navy and Police, we give thanks to you, gracious God, for their great sacrifices in conflict and in captivity for the cause of peace and freedom. In our nation of wealth, prosperity and comfort, let us not forget the cost of these privileges which we now enjoy. Help us to remember those who still bear the physical and mental scars and disabilities of their service or their loved one's service. And gracious Father, we pray for peace. Have mercy on our broken and divided world and banish the spirit that makes for war. We ask that leaders of nations and governments will pursue freedom, justice, and the welfare of all peoples. And finally, we pray for ourselves. In the midst of worldly turmoil and strife, make us yearn for peace, not only with each other, but peace with you through our crucified and risen Saviour. Trusting in him for the forgiveness of our sins, help us to look forward to his kingly return through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The King of Love, my shepherd is.
Book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, New Revised Standard Version. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by the word, your Son Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, today it's the start of the next 3 weeks looking at the story of Ruth. And it's great to know that some of you have read through that over this last week. And I've got on the church bulletin there what we will look at each week. So today it's this looking particularly at this small family within God's big story. Next week we'll focus more particularly on Naomi and Ruth. And then the third week, look at Ruth and Boaz and conclude the story. So today we hear the story of a great-grandmother. A great-grandmother. Now that might not seem apparent from the start of the story, but that's where the story takes us. I wonder what you know about your great-grandmothers. Now, from my calculations, we have four of them. Mine are Isabella, Adeline, Wilhelmina, and it just so happens that the name of my fourth great-grandmother is Ruth. Maybe just take a moment, just think about what you know about your great-grandmothers, if anything. You may know something, you may know absolutely nothing. But just take a moment and see, just to bring them to mind, if you are able to do that. You may or may not be able to. Great-grandmothers. Only one of those was alive when I came into the world. She lived to be about 97 or 98, thereabouts. I have no recollection of her, really. Some vague sort of glimpse. It may actually even be from a photo, I'm not sure. Great-grandmothers. Because today, this is a story about a great-grandmother. And it just so happens that her name was Ruth. And Selma just read from Ruth chapter 1 that there's another place in the Bible that we read of Ruth. And it's from the New Testament. In fact, we hear Ruth's name in the first 6 verses of the New Testament, from Matthew chapter 1. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David. Hold on to that thought, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob. And Jacob, what a shady character Jacob was. The father of Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Ooh, what a sordid tale that was. It's interesting how these people are in the genealogy of Jesus, isn't it? Gives a bit of hope for me. That's a whole other story about that. And yet, it connects in with this story of Ruth. Okay. Now, where do I get up to? Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Aram. And Aram, the father of Bindadab. How are we going? We're going okay with these? Yeah. There's going to be a test on this before we leave this morning. Okay. Especially in the spelling of Aminadab. Aminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth. Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. Spoiler alert, Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David. This is a short story. There's only four chapters in the book of Ruth. There's three main characters. There's Naomi, an Israelite woman. There's Ruth, Naomi's daughter-in-law from Moab. And there's Boaz, who's a kinsman. He's a relative of Elimelech, who's Naomi's husband. So it's mainly about those three characters. And we meet Boaz in the next part of the story. And as I said, we'll look particularly at him in week three. The mystery in this story is, how does a foreign woman from Moab, one of Israel's enemies, end up the great-grandmother of King David, the king of God's people, the great king of God's people, and in the line of David, in the line of Jesus? How does that happen? The story of Ruth is set in the chaotic period of the judges, when the judges ruled Israel, and that's the first verse. What was that time like? And this is part of the important context of this story. Well, we know what this time was like, because we're told what it was like in the last verse of the previous book, the book of Judges. So, can you press that, please, Wendy? I'm not sure if that, maybe that's out of range or something. I'm not sure. Yep. Okay. See how we go. So, Judges chapter 21, verse 25, which is the last verse before we get to Ruth, okay? So, Judges chapter 21, verse 25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes." And what a disastrous time it was. It's chaos, selfishness, people stepping outside the bounds of God's covenant relationship with them. People stepping outside of what God expected of them. It was chaos. And this is an important context as we consider Ruth arriving with her mother-in-law as a foreigner from Moab. She was in an extremely vulnerable position. It's not a good place for a woman from a foreign country to be. Ruth would be a stranger in a strange land, an alien in Judah. Such was the nature of society that without husbands, Ruth and Naomi would have no security, no social status. She would have to adapt to new customs. She faced the prospect of being stared at, talked about, alienated, isolated, exploited, vulnerable. Ruth had no reason to face these hardships except for the value that she placed on her relationship with her widowed mother-in-law, Naomi. who she obviously loved and cared for deeply, and also for the value that she now placed in connection with the God of Israel, Naomi's God. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. That's what their world was like. Thank God that in this story, we have two decent human beings who look beyond themselves. Two people in Ruth, and as we'll hear later in Boaz, Ruth and Boaz, who didn't see their own needs as number one. Two people who go against the prevailing current of the society in which they lived and who went out of their way to ensure the care of another human being. Both of them go completely out of their ways. Ruth for Naomi, and as you will hear, Boaz for Ruth. Okay, back to the story. In the days when the judges ruled, and I'll just see if this works. There we go. Do I have to do that every time to change a slide?
Or? No, I have
to change. So here's a map, okay? And again, just to set, here's Judah over here. So land of Israel, God's people. There's Jerusalem up the top there. And here's Moab over here, Dead Sea. So Moab's on the other side of the Dead Sea. They probably headed north and went up through the lands up there and got to Moab. The relationship between Israel and Moab was one that varied greatly in these days. At times it was a strained relationship, to say the least. And most of their time they were at odds with each other, with occasional glimpses of peace. And sometimes they were at war, and sometimes they lived reasonably peacefully together. And it seems from the book of Ruth that this was a time when things weren't too bad between them. But the important thing is that Naomi's two daughters-in-law, more importantly Ruth, were non-Israelites. They were foreigners. They were from Moab. Okay, so we look at chapter 1. What verse are we up to so far? Oh, verse 1. Okay. It's okay, we're going to jump ahead a little bit here shortly and get moving. But it's important to set the scene for what is, and that's primarily what we'll do today, is set the context of this. A severe famine has struck the land of Judah, and a man named Elimelech from Bethlehem heads off to, Bethlehem. That rings a bell. I want you to finish the next line of this Christmas carol, okay? Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Excellent. What about this one? Here's another one. Once in royal city stood a cattle shed. Excellent. There we go. Bethlehem. More spoiler alerts. Elimelech is from Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, the city of David. Coincidence? Well, no. No. You see, God is in this story doing what God has always been doing. And here, God is weaving together the bigger picture. If we looked at Micah chapter 5, verse 2, towards the end of the Old Testament, but probably about 800 years before the birth of Jesus, something like that, we read this. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, we heard that they were Ephrathites, and well done, Selma, getting your tongue around Ephrathites, who are one of the little clans of Judah. We've heard about Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Okay, so again, Bethlehem mentioned here, but this is a little sideline. From you shall come forth one whose origin is from of old. That's a bit curious. Come forth, but whose origin was from of old. So straight away, we're only in verse 1, of the book of Ruth. Straight away, as we look back at this passage, not only this passage, but Ruth chapter 1, as we look back at it with Christian eyes, we can see that God was unfolding his plans. It's a part of the bigger picture of what God is doing in the world, in and through this. Because of a famine, Elimelech from Bethlehem and his small family decide to move to Moab. Sometime later, Elimelech dies and Naomi is left. She's left with two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They each marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. But then about 10 years later, further tragedy strikes the family and her two sons die and Naomi is left. She's left as a widow without any sons. Elimelech and Naomi's family now has no second generation and no hope for any possible third generation and no hope for the birth of a King David. One of Israel's family units, and family units were so important to the people of Israel, one of Israel's family units are on the brink of extinction. Although all seems lost, for Naomi, there remains two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. You see, the book of Ruth tells a very human story. And at times we may find that it connects with our story in ways that we didn't expect. We may find that parts of the story catch us by surprise a little bit. We may find that we catch ourselves dealing with an event or bringing to mind people in our lives that we didn't quite expect when we began to read the story. You know, over the next 3 weeks, it may be that we find that we need to just check on each other a little bit along the way. We may find ourselves touching base with someone we trust during the week over a cup of tea for some further conversation. And just in light of that, just in preparation for next week and the week after, I really encourage you to read Psalm 77 and 78. 77 and 88. And if you can't, all the sevens and all the eights. Okay? Psalm 77 and Psalm 88. That may be a helpful reflection for next week. Okay? Psalm 77 and Psalm 88. Naomi hears that there is food now back in Judah, so she makes preparations to return home. And some distance after they have left, this small group of travellers stop and this amazing dialogue takes place. Ruth says to Naomi, "Wherever the future takes us, I will stay at your side." Orpah, hugely reluctantly, very reluctantly, heads back to Moab, tears streaming down her face. But Ruth says to Naomi, "Wherever the future takes us, I will stay at your side." She also accepts the God of Naomi as well. They're extraordinary words that Ruth pours out to Naomi. Words from someone who left friends and family to settle in a new land where many potential difficulties lay and where, as a foreigner, as I said earlier on, she could be so easily ostracised. And one of the intriguing things in this story is that the author takes an outsider of questionable background, that is, Moabite woman, Ruth, and shows her to be a person about whom God is vitally concerned. And the story of Ruth helps us to see the possibilities and potential of identifying our own individual story within God's story. But our personal story has meaning within the story of God's salvation and God's people. Or as Eugene Peterson says, he says this: there are no outstanding historically prominent figures in Ruth. There's no charismatic judges. There's no fiery prophets. It is a plain story about two widows and a farmer whose lives are woven into the fabric of God's salvation through the ordinary actions of common life. the ordinary actions of common life. I finish today with two thoughts. Firstly, this is the story of a small family in the big story of God's people. We as individuals, as families, as a people of God here in this place, are a part of the big plans of God, a part of the bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. We, like Ruth and family, may be a very small part of the story, but nevertheless are a significant part of the story. So as we make our way through this book, I encourage you to be alert to where God is at work in your life each day of the week in both small and big ways. Because isn't this story of Ruth the stuff of life? Of negotiating life with all of its complexities, of family, moving house, relationships, increasing frailty, of death, of new life and tears. This is the stuff of life, this story. And at times we may find ourselves asking a question like this, and maybe across the years you've asked this question. Is God really interested in my life? Is God really interested in what I do from day to day? Really? The answer to that question from the story of Ruth is a resounding yes. And Psalm 8 backs that up as well. Psalm 8, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them. How extraordinary. The God of the universe is not only mindful of us, but cares for us. That's what we hear in the story of Ruth. And if the story of Ruth affirms that to us, and if that's the case, that God is with me and is interested in my everyday existence, then maybe that's the case for the person who serves me coffee at Olive Grove Cafe down here at the plaza. Or maybe that's the case for my neighbour who I wave to once a week as they leave for work and I'm out on my walk. Or maybe that's the case for the uni student from the con who sings like an angel to us. Or as we heard last week from Liz, or regularly from Jenny and others, stories of visitors to the refresh shop. Or as I've been hearing from you one and one over the last 5 weeks when I've met with you. And if that's the case, we can simply pray, God, give me ears to see and eyes, give me ears to hear and eyes to see in my everyday encounters with the people I meet. And then secondly, and I'll finish with this, we don't hear much about God in the story of Ruth. God doesn't get a lot of mention in this story. Yet clearly God is present, woven throughout the story to bring about, in most surprising ways, God's plan, as we'll hear in 2 weeks' time through Boaz, God's plan to redeem, to restore, to bring us back. When we consider, our mind necessarily turns to Jesus. In his coming amongst us as one of us, he left his homeland, as it were. He left it behind and entered into a foreign land, an alien land, a land far off, born as a vulnerable baby, a land where he was misunderstood, where he was alienated, not for his own sake, but for the sake of the other, for the sake of the world, for our sake, for your sake, for the sake of those who God valued and treasured, and yet who had gone the complete opposite direction from God. Or as we read in Philippians chapter 2, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We pray. O love that will not let us go, we rest our weary hearts in you. Our loving God, we are so grateful that you are our companion along the way. Some parts of this journey, Lord, have at times seemed long and never ending. Yet perhaps we have learnt something from all that has passed by, and we have needed every friend along the way who has comforted us, consoled us, and celebrated with us. Lord, as each new day dawns, may we experience your friendship anew with gratitude and joy, and may your peace and gracious love so enfold us all that our shared journey becomes a sign of hope in the midst of a despairing world. In the name of Jesus we pray, the one who came and shared his life with us. Amen. The hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go.
The ground of our being, and you give us a steady place to set our feet. Keep us balanced, Lord, and help us to keep our view of the world balanced and insightful. We come to you with grateful hearts. We know that the colours here are green, and we foolishly say in the church this is ordinary time. But we know, God, that there is no such thing as ordinary time. Every minute of time you give us is extraordinary. As Werner Hasse once said, every part of life is a gift, not just the good bits. Help us to look for your light every day and see the glorious playground of colour you have given us to live in. Keep us alert to the wonders of the life you've given us and on the watch for the extraordinariness of this world and its inhabitants. As the jacaranda flowers fall into a carpet of purple and the poinsettias start to splash their red against the blue of the sky, don't let us take them for granted. Give us the eyes of children who see wonder in a stick or a pebble. When dark clouds of world events, or even just the daily struggles of mundane troubles, threaten to weigh us down, help us to see your light. remind us that even in the brutal times of the Roman Empire, your Son still grew up with your message of love untainted by the regime he lived under. Help us to follow in Jesus' footsteps more closely. This week is the week of science and peace. What a wonderful juxtaposition. Bless all those scientists and thinkers who strive to bring beneficial changes to our lives and have succeeded in proving so much: health, good food production, and medical advances. May their discoveries be used for more and more good, and may we learn to control the forces that turn them to destructive ends. As we approach Remembrance Day, we ask for comfort for all those who live with consequences of those destructive ends, not just the immediate victims, those who are killed, the soldiers, their families, but those impacted for years to come. And in a moment of quiet, we remember anyone we know is suffering from those consequences. We ask your blessing particularly on those who have the challenges of disadvantage and disability that damages their quality of life, whether their problem is caused naturally or by trauma or war, or the recklessness, selfishness, or callousness of others. As our church council today discusses which special projects to choose for contribution of the money raised from Refreshed, help us to learn from the wonderful efforts occurring right across the world to build communities and give fresh starts to people who've been shut out or left out of the benefits of others. We thank you for all those who sit and listen to what support will be the most useful. Give them and us wisdom and compassion in our choices. Lord, we know that in our own community we have friends who are facing a time of pain or loss or dwindling of independence or even just difficulty with activities that once seemed so easy. May we all use the capacities we do have generously to do all the good we can and not fret over what can't be done. Prevent us from making judgments of others when we do not know what their internal battles are. Thank you for the blessing of a new phase of our congregational journey. Thank you for sending us David to join us in serving you in this community. Bless him and his family, and may this be a time of growth and satisfaction. Help us all to walk in the light of Christ in the week ahead. Amen. Now let us say Jesus' prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
After our final prayer, our final hymn and blessing, there'll be opportunity, as we always do, to share in some refreshments afterwards. And I'm hoping there's a huge jug of iced water as part of that. And our final hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness, and then the blessing that we conclude.
Oh,
And so we go out with that great line from that last verse, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Great is your faithfulness. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.